gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God.
Now on more drugs than the Rush Limbaugh program.
Good morning. It's a man, baby.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a long 3 hours. Mama has, swine flu. Here's the thing. I don't even know what I'm on, Chris. I'm on cortisone and antibiotics and this cough medicine and Mucinex. Here's the bad news for all y'alls.
What?
The cough medicine and Mucinex, all that stuff, it's designed to make me hack up phlegm.
Yes.
And there's no cough button in the studio.
Great.
Here in New York. So that's good news for all of us.
So which is going to be worse, the talking or the hawking of the phlegm and these of things?
Yes. Here's the thing. I had to actually turn down the Rachel Maddow show last night.
Really?
How awful is that?
Oh.
And Rachel Maddow is also out sick, so Allison Stewart was on. Apparently Rachel and I both have swine flu, as does Sanjay Gupta and Major Garrett of Fox News.
That's right.
Yes. I'm hoping this cortisone will kick in soon, Chris. You know what, Jim? I had my own experience with the healthcare system yesterday. So I'm in New York. I'm traveling. I live in L.A., obviously. So I'm trying to reach my doctor. It's the middle of flu season. I'm trying to reach him in L.A. to get medicine, right? So first of all, I can't reach him all day long. It took all day long for him to call back. So I'm trying to get a doctor here. And every doctor I tried to go, they don't take insurance. Even they don't want to deal with the health insurance companies.
Wow. Right.
And so, you know.
And so you got to be, like, filthy rich to be able to go to a doctor in New York.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm staying with the guy who owns the show who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Yes.
Yes. In the bonfire of the vanities apartment.
Yes.
And so it's his wife's doctor, which I'm like, yeah, I don't think I can afford that.
Okay. Two aspirin, that'll be $1 million.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, seriously. So I did the, Ed Schultz show on Tuesday night.
Uh-huh.
So Ed probably will be out tonight with swine flu.
Yeah, probably.
But if he's not, I'll be on the Ed show again.
Because you did have a coughing jag all over him.
I did. Yes. Michael in Chesapeake, Virginia writes, Staff, saw you on the Big Eddie show. You were great as usual, even when you hacked up a lung at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, Ed, I'm so sorry. he was very kind about it. And his wife, Wendy, who I love, she's the sweetest woman in the world. You know, she used to be a nurse.
Oh, she really? Did? I didn't know that.
Yes. And so she is not shy. She plunged right into discussing with me what color my phlegm is.
Oh.
Like,
well,
okay, now is it green or yellow or is it clear?
That determines what medication you...
Yes.
Yes. What color is it, Stephanie?
Oh, well, everyone would like to know. I think it's fairly yellow. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Right. Well, if it's green, that means you need antibiotics.
Well, I'm on antibiotics now. So who can tell? Like, it's gross enough, but then you're, like, studying it. Is that more green or yellow?
Oh, dude.
Yes. Oh. So, anyway. Wow, this is bad. Hang on. I have to cough. Sorry.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Oh,
I'll
boy.
Get the girl from Ipanema ready.
Yeah. There might be a lot of standby. We're having phlegm-related difficulties. She's very sweet. She wanted to plunge right in because apparently if it's yellow or green, it's an infection, and if it's clear, then it's viral.
Really?
Something. But here's how I knew. I did not really look my best or feel my best because I had been through hair and makeup and was getting ready to go on the set.
Uh-huh.
And Wendy said, oh, golly, have you been to hair and makeup yet?
Oh, no.
I was like, what? Yes. Yes.
You looked spectacular, though. I have to say.
Why, thank you.
There was a great shot of your ass.
Yes, a few people sent me that. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
It was a wide shot, as they say.
No, nothing wide about it. It was very shapely.
Why, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so, so Wendy was, she was very, very sweet. It reminds me of my producer, remember from my game show I used to do on TV?
Uh-huh.
Like, would be giving me last-minute directions right before we were about to go live.
Yeah.
And then right before I went out, he would go, are you wearing that? Yes, I am wearing. What? Why? Oh. I was like, what? I don't look like I've had makeup yet? What?
Oh, God. Were they joking?
I don't know.
Trying to mess with you?
I'll have to ask her.
That's
here's
not
the
funny.
Unfortunate thing. Eileen, who writes me at StephanieMiller.com, where you can email all of us, executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice D.D. Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. She heard my program for the first time this week, Chris.
Uh-oh. That never ends well.
Yes. She said this morning, I think this was Tuesday, because I was obviously out yesterday, Hal Sparks, thank you very much for filling in. Okay, so Eileen writes, this morning I happened upon your radio show and had to see if you had a website. I was surprised that you are a nice-looking female.
What?
From the sound of your voice, you sound like a man. And your vocabulary is like a man, an angry and unhappy man at that. I listened for about 1 hour, but didn't get much out of it. But she had to stay. But she hung in there, Chris, for an hour just to make sure it was as bad as she thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just thought you would like to know that your voice does not present you as a lady.
Oh, dear.
Well, screw you, Eileen. A friggin' lady.
Oh, Stephanie?
Yes.
We have a little bit of an update about Representative Cummings.
Yes.
He was supposed to join us, well, now, but he'll be joining us in an hour.
Oh,
is he
good.
The swine flu, too? Schwein flu. He caught it just from talking to Rebecca.
Good. Because I'm sure at this point people just want more and more of my voice.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Oh, man. So I will be on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC. I'm going home to bed after this, so we'll see.
Probably
going to
wear a hazmat suit.
Yeah. He'll look like the people on the streets walking around in Tokyo with a mask on.
Exactly. That's what I'll wear for the show tonight. Oh, my God.
Oh, you just coughed, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no cough button, so I have to actually turn the microphone off entirely.
Do you have a spittoon?
I do not. I think, why doesn't the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International have that, I wonder?
Yeah, you need one.
Mm, I know. Mm. Yeah, this is really disgusting. Seriously, I understand that's part of what makes you better, but it's really kind of inconvenient if you're a talk radio host.
It really is.
To have drugs that are making you hack up more phlegm.
Well, can't you take a cough suppressant for the 3 hours that you're on the air?
No, they say that's bad. They say that's bad because
but then when you get off the air.
Yeah, but then when you get off the air, that's when you take the expectorant.
Right.
Hang on. I don't know what this is. I'm on Promethazine DM syrup. That's a prescription something.
Oh, maybe a doctor can call in and tell us what that does.
It's a, wait a minute, generic for, hang on, Phenergan syrup.
Oh, that tells me a
DM.
Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. With DM?
Yeah, yeah, don't you love they think the generic is a lot easier?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
No.
What is that?
Frankie.
The generic form of Frankie Schroeder.
It's a generic for the Frankie Merler, which is frequently an even longer name.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly. All right. Oh, my God. Oh, here's the thing, by the way. So I've been having a grand time in New York except for coming down with swine flu.
Yeah.
Which apparently I got it from Rachel Maddow's studio. I don't know.
That could be. You were all over her stuff. Were you licking? You were not licking her desk, were you?
I heard that Shep Smith at Fox News has it, too. Maybe it's only infecting talk show or I don't know, anchors or hosts of some sort.
Maybe there's a Typhoid Mary makeup girl who's spreading it to all the shows.
That could be. That could be. Yeah, they're always happy to see you coming when you're really sick. They're like, oh, great.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, so I've been having a fabulous time in New York. But here's the thing I don't like. There's been changes since I lived in New York.
Uh-huh.
Tell me how French and gay this is.
What?
They have pedestrian safety officers in Times Square now. They're like, you know, they're like school crossing guards with vests, and they make you wait until the light changes. That's not the point of New York. It's the whole game is to get through the crosswalk without being
killed.
Well,
aren't you grown up enough to know when the light changes and
like,
when?
Are you kidding me? I'm in a hurry.
Oh, geez.
It's like the game. I remember on the way in, the cab driver. I forgot how literally that is their mission in life is to run someone down.
Yeah.
I swear to God, he sped up and we got into a sort of like a game of chicken with a teenage boy who was in the crosswalk who just stopped and turned and looked at him. And I'm like, oh no, please, oh please. Please don't let me get in the middle of a Who's Is Bigger contest. I was like, oh, no. No, 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 no. But yeah, it's a
friend
I'm
of mine.
Like, what the frig? What's the, that's not New York. New York is you're supposed to, that's the whole game.
A friend of mine from New York says that jaywalking in New York isn't illegal, but the penalty is death.
Yes.
If you do it wrong.
Exactly. It's part of the game. You know, Chris, I already told you I missed the porn movies in Times Square.
Yes.
It's gotten all French and gay, for God's sakes. Where's the little spermaid? Where's
so
my Hunt?
French gay porn movies now? What? That doesn't seem like much of an improvement.
There's like a sitting areas in Times Square. It's all sophisticated now. And well, civilized.
Haven't
What's
they,
the point of that?
Haven't they closed it off to vehicle traffic? I think I
read
that
some
somewhere.
Of it, yeah, in the middle they put up like little chair, it's like France. It's French and gay. It's like Paris. There's little tables with little chairs and little sitting areas and the pedestrian safety officers. I'm like, whatever.
Oh, geez.
But if it's closed at traffic, why would you need pedestrians?
Well, there's still the side streets. It's okay. On either side of Times Square. You still have to walk up.
Yeah. Closing off Times Square to traffic must create a hell of a traffic jam.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. It's not closed traffic. There's still traffic, but it's in the middle. You see, there's a middle. It's like a middle section. Yeah,
Where the square is, basically.
Yes.
Okay, I understand now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's the Jim. This is how you know that I'm really sick. I didn't exercise yesterday or drink, so you know this is really serious now. Yeah.
Although I hear a little bit of scotch helps the throat.
Really now.
Yes.
Mama's gonna go doctor up her tea during the commercial break. But anyway, here's the job, Jim. I figured when this whole thing caves in, as it indubitably will, because that's my life story. When the whole career collapses, I've decided what I want to do, because, you know, I'm a little bit of an exercise maniac. I love to spin every day, and I bicycle. I'm going to drive one of those pedal cabs in Central Park.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't that be great? You just drive fat tourists around all day.
Right. And you don't have to pay for it. They pay you.
Exactly.
For your own spinning class.
I might not be able to live in the lifestyle that I've become accustomed to by the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, but however, I will be in fabulous shape. You'll be able to bounce a quarter off this ass.
And you'll have quads the size of New Jersey.
Exactly. Look, who is that runner?
You'll look for the fattest tourists you can find. No, not fat enough. I need a workout, damn it.
No, you're too skinny. That's not good exercise.
That's not a challenge.
You look like Jackie Joyner.
I actually did. Last time I was here, I actually did try to pay the guy to let me drive him and my friend. Like, what kind of freak are you? I just want to see how hard it is.
What kind of freak am I?
Oh, Steph?
Yes,
Bill in Kalamazoo has some fun facts about your meds.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead. Yes.
Hey, Bill.
Oh, hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Feeling better.
As you can tell, I am.
it sounds wonderful. I'm not going where that email went because it sounds like you're still having fun. But anyway, I don't know what somebody told you. That medication actually isn't an expectorant. It actually does have a cough suppressant in it.
Oh,
that's
good.
The DM.
Okay, but I'm also taking Mucinex, which is an expectorant.
That's right.
Ah, missed that part. That's good.
Yes.
That is an expectorant. But you've got the suppressant, for better or worse, in the DM.
But here's what happens, Bill, and it's delightful, is so the cough, it suppresses it just long enough for me to hock up a really large hunk of lung butter. And then when I do expel it, it is, it's like that movie The Blob.
Oh,
You know, and that's one of the real advantages of radio over TV, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'll see. Yeah, because then I wouldn't need a spittoon. If I had a show like Ed on MSNBC, I'd be like, excuse me.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, my God. Right.
I'd stay away from the BM cough medicine. That's probably a reaction you don't need. Complicates things.
Yeah, it's a... I understand it's to help you get better, but it's really disgusting.
But yeah, it's good that you're taking the cough suppressant during the show, and then as soon as the show is over, take the expectorant
and some whiskey.
Yes,
my mom is going to doctor her tea right now. 20 minutes after the hour. The good news is I am on more drugs than Rush, and I will be buying the Buffalo Bills right after the break. We will. Be back with that celebrity stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That tea is much better with scotch in it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Thank God Marilyn's a nurse in Rochester. Good morning, Marilyn.
It's in the MOOCs, and first of all, a happy thing I have to tell you, because of you and your love of dogs, I got a yellow lab last year, and his name is Moses, and we listen to you every morning.
Oh, hi, Moses.
Yeah, he loves you, too, and he loves all the MOOCs.
Oh, I miss my Max and Fred. Oh,
yeah,
Fred. I miss them so much.
Fred? He's a good boy. Anyway, I want to tell you, I'm a nurse practitioner.
By the way, are you ever, when you're away from your dogs, I act like a giant freak? Like every dog I run into in New York, I do the moogie in the face.
Oh, yes, me too. And I'm almost in tears talking to these people about, and the crazy dog person because I travel with my job and I'm always talking about my dog. People think I'm nuts.
Yeah, I'm on my knees immediately talking dog. I'm like, I'm sorry, I miss my dogs every day.
I'm the same way. I love you for it. Anyway, the Phenergan, part of your medicine, I wanted to tell you, I got this monthly prescribing reference that nurse practitioners get.
Okay.
And the Phenergan part of it, they give for motion sickness and preoperative nausea and vomiting.
Oh.
And the most important thing, because like you, I love my wine every night, they say that in this book it says here, it increases your central nervous system depression with alcohol. So
Yahoo.
I know you love your wine, and I love mine every night. I have mine, and I toast you every night. But
thank you. What's better than wine and dogs? Nothing.
Nothing in this world.
Thank you.
Love you.
All right. Thanks, Marilyn.
Bye-bye.
All right. Ooh, you know, too bad, Chris, we don't have anti-vomiting medicine for our listeners.
That Why?
Probably would, anti-nausea medicine would come in handy for some of our shows.
Oh, by the way, a Rich in Stratford, Connecticut says that rather than scotch, Sambuca is great for cough and scratchy voice. It has extract of aniseed.
Yes. Yes, it does.
So, yes. Try some Sambuca.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know if there's a liquor cabinet here at Stephanie Miller International
there
or New York
be.
Bureau.
What? The place has your name on it. It should have a liquor cabinet.
Where's our liquor cabinet?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It has my name on it. I can barely get the studio. They're like, who? Who's calling? Me. You syndicate my... Okay. Never mind. All right. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Mama's Drek. Hello, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning, baby.
Yes, mucinex.
You know, Madison gave this to me, Tim. Damn you, Satan worshippers.
I know, we're all Satan worshippers, and we loved you, but we just had to give you some of our flu that's going around here.
So, it was a lovely parting gifts.
It was. You know, we figured you needed to go away with something, you know.
Lovely parting gifts.
Memories.
Yes.
You know, my great-grandmother would give me, when I was sick and older, she would give me scotch with tea and a little bit of honey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it does. It does wonders for the throat. But as I've gotten older, now you do that with mucinex.
Well, here's the
great thing.
Here's the startling fun fact about Mama Tim. I actually don't drink hard liquor, so I think then I would my voice would sound like crap, and I'd be drunk by the end of the show.
Well, you know, just don't use that much. You only need like a shot, maybe two, and a thing of tea. You know, you'll be fine.
All right, thank you, honey.
Sorry for getting you sick.
All right, thank you, honey.
So you think a shot of whiskey would make you drunk, but an entire bottle of wine is like nothing?
I don't know. Jim, there's none here. I'm going to have to go to Times Square and grab someone's brown bag. Hopefully he'll be sleeping.
Yeah.
Move over. Give me that.
I'm sure there's a liquor store somewhere in Manhattan.
What?
Joe in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Fun facts about mucinex.
How
exciting.
The mucinex is to thin the mucus in your body. So it'll help keep your sinuses clear. And it's labeled as an expectorant because when you do cough, your mucus is thinner, so it's easier to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I hope everybody's enjoying breakfast.
Yeah. But so it's important. Take the mucinex as much as you can, you know, as directed on the label. But keep drinking lots of water, and that'll help keep your sinuses clear, help you feel more like yourself, less, you know, clogged up, less dizzy, that type of thing.
Aw, this is so cute. This is just going to be all sick advice for Mama. Thank you, Joe.
I hope nobody's eating Eggs Benedict right now.
This is just sick advice for Mama all morning.
Maybe you could ask Senator Debbie Stabenow about her advice.
I will be talking to her. Well, thank you, King Segway. I'll be talking to her next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Excuse me, ma'am. I just wanted to tell you that
Stephanie Miller
is adorable.
Hey, Steph.
Yes, sir.
Listener Ken in Cleveland tweeted, "No thanks to any of you for adding the phrase lung butter to my vocabulary."
Oh, you're welcome, Ken. You're welcome. Our pleasure. Happy eating. Happy eating this morning. Mama is, I'm going to say swine flu. It's more glamorous. All right, 33 minutes after
it's what
hour.
It's what all the kids are getting.
Exactly. If Rachel Maddow got it, I want it.
Yeah.
All right. And I had my own very personal horrific experience with the healthcare system yesterday. If only there was someone fighting the good fight. Oh, why, look, it's Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan. Good morning, Senator.
Well, good morning. I understand you need a doctor, so you know, I'll put my amateur doctor hat on and see if I can help.
Yeah,
you sound like you should be home in bed, by the way.
I know.
Yeah.
But I
so should we all.
I have to be here doing the Lord's work, as you know.
That's right.
Yes, and I have to be on the Ed Show on MSNBC, our good friend Ed Schultz tonight. So.
Oh, terrific. My two favorite people.
Yes, well, I may take him out, too, with this my bout of swine flu, but we'll see what we can do. So, Senator, it's hard to tell with the sausage-making process, but it seems like good news to me that, not only that your colleague, Senator Snow, voted for the health care bill, but Senator Collins obviously says that she is open to it. How do you, from your point of view on the inside, how do you think this whole thing is coming together?
Well, we're farther than we've ever gotten, and it's in 100 years since Teddy Roosevelt said we ought to cover everybody with health care and health insurance in America. And so I think we are moving forward. It is good news. I mean, there are things, obviously, that I'm going to continue to fight for, like a strong public health insurance option that I want to see included. But, we have to just keep this moving. You know, we have to get the very, very best bill we can. One of the things that's not been focused on at all about the finance bill, and I sit on the finance committee, is that Senator Maria Cantwell offered an amendment I was proud to join her on that allows states to receive federal funding to negotiate a public basic health care plan for people up to 200% of poverty. And what that means is 75% of the uninsured would then be covered in some way by a public plan. And that's a policy that doesn't take a place of a public option, but there are a number of things we're doing to make sure people have real choices, that there's real competition with insurance companies. Because the bottom line with all of this is if we don't stop business as usual with these insurance companies where they can drop people if they get sick after paying for years, their premiums or people that can't find pre-existing conditions, we're not going to really have reform if we can't rein in what they're doing.
Absolutely. Well, and Senator, I was saying on the air earlier that I had my own experience with the healthcare, system yesterday. I'm, as you know, live in L.A., but I'm here in New York. And, the couple of doctors I could even find that I might vaguely be able to get into, they don't take insurance. They don't even want to deal with the private insurance companies. So,
wow. Yeah.
And I have insurance. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to pay, but it really is. It's just another example of how why our system is broken.
No, it is. And, on the one hand, we have terrific research and terrific professionals, and if you can afford health care, you can get the best in the world. Problem is, the way this is set up, too many people now can't afford it, but even people who think they're paying for it, they think they have insurance that's going to cover it.
Right.
And then they find out at the end that they don't, and that's the problem with the system. So there are a number of things we're doing to get that right, to help small businesses and individuals that don't have insurance
because you've always been a big supporter of Progressive Radio, we're not in the Rush Limbaugh 600 station universe. I can't even afford to buy my local Pee Wee football team. So you're right. The healthcare system works if you have a lot of money, but that's the problem.
That's really the challenge for us. So we're in this great country. We ought to be able to figure out, and we will, way for everybody to have access to healthcare.
Senator, obviously, the other good news, it really does seem like the insurance companies shot themselves in the foot with this ridiculous report they put out that was so cherry-picked. It was like, Philip Morris coming out with a study saying smoking's good for you,
I know. Well, it's so interesting to me that they fight against having any competitor with a public option saying they can do it better, the prices will be lower if they do it, and then they come out saying, help save us from ourselves, we're going to raise your premium. I mean, when they put out a report saying premiums are going to go up, they're the ones raising the premium.
Right. You're like, who's in charge of that? Oh, you are. Yeah. I mean, I love the fact that most people are saying that this backfired to such an extent that it may have increased the chances that we get a meaningful public option, which is great.
Now, more and more people are saying, now, wait a minute. You know, we're going through all of this. We're putting people in large pools because, you know, we're trying to address things that they've said were legitimate concerns of doing this right. And then now they're coming forward and saying, wait a minute, we've changed our mind. And so I think the bottom line is that they've figured out we're serious, we're moving forward, that this can really happen. And, you know, these folks have seen a 428% increase in profits in the last 8 years. My Michigan companies, you know, would kill for that. I mean, you know, for a quarter of that, you know. And so the reality is it's a huge moneymaker. And the unfortunate part for all of us is that they make money when they deny care, not when they pay for health care.
Well,
and
exactly.
So the incentives are in the wrong place.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, again, what's really, you know, this move was such a blunder on their part that your colleague Chuck Schumer now has called for an amendment that would remove the longstanding antitrust exemption for insurers, which, you know,
he says
they should have done a long time ago.
Right. And Senator Pat Leahy has introduced a bill to do just that. Senator Reid, our majority leader, testified before Judiciary Committee this week and strongly encouraged us to do that. You know, there's something wrong. There's only two entities in the country exempt from antitrust laws, the National Baseball League and the insurance companies. And so there's something wrong with that picture. So I absolutely think that should be changed.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Senator Schumer called it, one of the worst accidents of American history. It deserves a lot of the blame for the huge rise in premiums that made health insurance so unaffordable in the first place, right?
Right. Absolutely. So it's time to make that change, you know. It's hard. I mean, you can walk two steps here at the Capitol and trip over three insurance company lobbyists. And for me, on my website, I've created a healthcare people's lobby. I invite people to come and share their stories. And, you know, we need people's voices to be heard.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this was a perfect example to me, too, of how, you know, the Republicans just don't seem like they're going to help on anything. You know, you probably know the Dow passed 10,000 for the first time in a year. And, you know, of course, John Boehner, the Republican leader, just poo-pooed that. That doesn't mean anything. And, of course, you know, he's on record right after Obama was inaugurated saying, see, the stock market doesn't like him. And so that's why that's important. And, you know, I mean, they just change their tune no matter what the story is.
Yeah.
They're against the president. And anything good that happens is not his. He doesn't get the credit. Anything bad, he gets the blame, right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when you think about this in the big picture, I mean, really, how unfortunate at this time in our country we have a group of folks who have said, you know, they want this president to fail, who cheer when America does not get the Olympics, who denigrate an American president who has won a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, what happened to pride in our country? What happened to, you know, speaking up for America? And, you know, for them, if we said anything against the policies on going into Iraq or any of the policies of George Bush, we were un-American. What's American about cheering when America loses the bid for the Olympics? So, you know, this is really, really unfortunate. Hopefully, folks are going to see this and, you know, just not paying any attention to it.
Yep. Well, you know, Senator Stabenow, I think that President Roosevelt is probably spinning in his grave every time he hears a Republican say we're going too fast on getting health care for Americans.
Yeah.
We're rushing now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you know what, there's so much to do, so much on our plate here that we've got to fix. There's been a big hole dug in the last 8 years, and we're trying to get out of it. And, you know, in my mind, you know, we're working as fast as we can. And in my mind, it's, you know, not moving fast enough. So,
exactly. To our right-wing friends, we say, hush up and grab a shovel. We're all in this together.
That's right. Exactly.
Senator Debbie Stabenow, the great state of Michigan, our good friend. Thanks so much, Senator.
Always good to be with you. Take care of yourself.
Oh, I'll try.
Okay.
You know, the guy that owns the show is a slave driver. You know him. You know what we're talking about.
I know him, and I know it's just brutal. Tell him at least he should pay for some vitamin C and echinacea.
Yes.
He actually bought me some Camel cigarettes as a joke yesterday. Isn't that funny?
Oh, that's really Yeah.
He has a sense of humor, that one. All right. Thank you, Senator. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right.
Aww. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend you start smoking at the first sign of a cough.
Yes. Well, that's what Philip Morris was saying back in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. It's
not
like
a
one of those cigarette
carload.
Oh, Stephanie?
Yes.
Shano on the live blog wrote, there's a liquor store at 8th and 56th.
Hey,
oh, good to know. Good to know. GTK.
Yeah.
Okay, make a note of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you guys will laugh because you know the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. This is no joke. He's in the green room with a life insurance agent right now. I swear I am not making this
up. No.
Okay. So how much can I get if she dies?
And then I'm like, I poke my hand and I'm like, oh, this is not pretty today. And he's like, mm-hmm, okay, get back in there.
This is good for me.
Oh, God.
He's no sympathy, but then I swear to God, it's the insurance agent that he keeps buying more life insurance on me. And I'm telling you, they're plotting how to get me healthy so they can kill me.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Much like on death row, how they make sure that the people, that you know, they get health care and everything so they can get nice and healthy before we put them to death.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. 44 minutes after the hour. Back. Oh. The drug-addled gas bag.
You squeaked tee-hee, there.
Tee-hee. Rush isn't getting a football team.
Hooray.
Ha, ha. Back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning,
Your
Dave.
Dick Morris impersonation this morning is
Isn't
way
it
better
stellar?
Than Jim's.
Jim is so jealous.
He is. You need to run to the store or have one of your boys do it.
What's that?
Run to the store or have one of your helpers do it. It's called Traditional Medicinals. It's an herbal tea, and the one you want to pick up is called Breathe Easy. And then you follow that up with a glass of Harvey's Bristol Cream.
Yeah, let me just say, Dave, thanks for the suggestion. All that holistic crap works for nada for me.
Well, it's warm and it's, you know, it takes the edge off. I mean, just a warm drink is nice.
All right. Thank you, honey. And besides, then I can be that slutty woman in the 70s commercial. Hello. She likes to come over for a little Harvey's Bristol Cream.
Okay. Not if you're something like that.
Not if you're
like
that.
Hacking up phlegm. Would you like to come over? I'm hacking up phlegm.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Listener Scott wrote in and said, I want you to get a pound of whorehound candy and put it in a quart of corn liquor and let the candy dissolve. Mm. 2 teaspoons of that concoction are supposed to take care of any cough.
Wow.
Okay. Thanks. I love this has become one of those reverse doctor shows where people just call in to give me advice.
Right, exactly.
Because I don't care about you. This is all about me. What can you do to help me?
This is more helpful than anything Dr. Laura's ever said.
Oh, exactly. All right. Of course, the only thing that made me feel better is, ha-ha, Rush isn't getting an NFL team.
I am part of a group with Dave Checkitz that has put in a bid on the St. Louis Rams. And that's all I can say, except that's true.
Well, he's been sacked. St. Louis Blues owner Dave Checkitz just released a statement saying that he is going to drop Rush from their bidding group. Turns out a lifetime of racist comments just is not going to endear you to the NFL.
Thank you, Shano. Yeah, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell yesterday came out against Limbaugh's bid, saying that based on the hate radio host past rhetoric, Limbaugh didn't live up to the standard of the league. He said, I would not want to see those comments coming from people who are a responsible position in the NFL. Absolutely not. T, and then a he.
That's right.
Although Rush yesterday, did you hear this, Chris?
What?
He responded to accusations he's insensitive and has a blind spot about race. By claiming he's colorblind and treats everybody equally. In fact, Limbaugh has an extensive history of making racially charged remarks on minorities and routinely race baits while criticizing Obama
yes.
and his policies, such as saying that Obama is a reverse racist and that his economic policies amount to reparations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'd be saying that about a white president he was criticizing, would he?
No, he would not.
I think we have some of that. Drug-addled gas bags.
Oh.
that I'm sweet and elite.
Oh, because he's a Nazi, that's why.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't get the team, because he's a Nazi, as we all know.
I'm horrendous. I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling because I'm so full of bull, so full of crap. With condescending tribes making money selling lies. You might say everybody hates my guts.
Hates his guts.
I'm offensive. I'm a bigot. I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic cuts. I'm a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am.
Yes, James. I believe we have some more audio from Rush on this, don't we?
My friends, the pinko feminazi homo-loving commie of pizocrats are at it again, claiming with absolutely no evidence of any kind, as usual, claiming that I am a racist. On the contrary, I want our African president to fail, not because he's a Kenyan-born, hottentot, reverse racist shoeshine boy trying to pass as a regular person, but because of his policies, my friends, which promote a culture of tolerance for lazy, shiftless welfare queens, waiting for a government handout in between rotting liquor stores and screaming about reparations, when they should be happy they got a free boat ride to the greatest country on earth. I think the president should take the bone out of his nose and wait for the next affirmative action T-ball trophy from the Nobel Committee. And don't get me started on the Mexicans, homos, and retards. Oh, sorry, I need booze there. What'd I say? Oh, you libs are so sensitive. Why don't you just move to France and...
You didn't get the message I left you earlier about the effects. Okay, yeah.
Oh, you hit me! Not fair! Oh!
Is it wrong for me to wish someone to beat Rush to a pulp?
Yes. For being the Stephanie Miller shirt does not wish that.
No. Well, I won't do that then.
We can't be responsible for the things Jim Ward blurts out, nor can we be responsible for the things I blurt out today on the number of medications I'm currently on.
Yeah. Send the owner of the show out to get you some Sambuca.
Oh, boy. In fact, I'm supposed to do, as I mentioned, the Ed Show again on MSNBC tonight. I'm wondering if they can get that model that Ralph Lauren fired. Maybe they could put her head on my body so someone without a head cold and better looking than me could somehow, they could Photoshop that.
My love, 260.
Did you hear this story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week, Ralph Lauren came under fire for what looked to be an extremely altered photo of a model. This is a little freakish. After further investigation, we learned we are responsible for the poor imaging and retouching that resulted in a very distorted image of a woman's body. We've addressed the problem. Unfortunately, addressing the problem may have included firing her. You know, Jim, because she's too fat.
She's too fat.
She's 5'10 and weighs 120.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hamilton says she was let go because she'd become too fat to model for them. They fired me because they said I was overweight and I couldn't fit in her clothes anymore. Her name is Philippa Hamilton.
Maybe there's something wrong with the clothes, then, if she doesn't fit in them.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's a 1 degree of Ralph Lauren separation, Chris. I'm staying with the guy who owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Uh-huh.
It's right around the corner from Ralph Lauren.
From Ralph Lauren's apartment?
Yes, and he's Ralph Lauren, the store.
Oh, the store, okay.
He saw Pierce Brosnan and Ralph Lauren talking to each other on the corner just like a week ago.
Well, then.
Isn't that something?
I think they're just trying to kill women. They want to force women to go on starvation diets.
Yeah.
They want clothes hangers.
Chris, maybe I wonder if that would be good publicity. Maybe we could get her to fill in for me tonight on the Ed Show, and I would just, I would like be in her ear like in a broadcast news, like telling her what to say.
Yes.
So just introduce her as Stephanie Miller, and then, and then we get extra pub for that.
That's true. It was like great
I just say,
sex.
Say the Baucus Bill is a piece of crap. Okay, just say Ed. There. I will have solved two problems. I've got her work, and you won't have to listen to my horrific voice.
The crappy Bill is a piece of buck.
What?
No.
I don't think she could rub two brain cells together enough to do that, Stephanie. Seriously.
Oh, boy. The You Light Up My Life songwriter
is
suing his ex-fiancée. Apparently, I'm not sure if she... He says his former fiancé did just that to him, but then hid the fact that she was already married.
Oh, that.
Oh.
She lit up his life, but then apparently there were a couple things she forgot to mention.
And then doused it.
Yes. He filed a fraud suit seeking at least $2 million in damages and the return of a $550,000 bank account and a $60,000 engagement ring.
She always said that song was about God anyway.
According to the lawsuit, the 71-year-old Brooks met the 21-year-old Gomez more than 18 months ago and grew close to her after suffering a stroke.
Oh, jeez.
So it's like an Anna Nicole story, you see. He thought it was true love. Oh, boy. I love that song, though. What's better than Debbie Boone? Nothing. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, indeed.
Sounds like crap. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie is sick in New York. And, in fact, someone sent me an email saying that Steph sounds like a combo of Puffy McMoonface.
Tel Aviv.
Yeah. Carol Channing and the Old Lucy. And also sent a link to the Urgent Care Center of Manhattan.
Oh, good.
So you might want to check that out.
Thank you, Mr. Carmichael. Yeah, earlier we heard Jessica Rabbit on Codeine.
Yes, you sound like Jessica Rabbit on Codeine.
And Nicholas says I sound just like Randy Rhodes now. 6 minutes after.
Yahoo.
Yeah, I'm a whore. All right. You know what it is? The Max Baucus bill made me sick, as it did Tracy in California. Tracy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I love you. Let me just say that much. Yeah, I wanted to comment on that because I was a little offended, actually, that the president and everyone else made such a fuss about that bill. It does absolutely nothing but maintain the status quo. I realize we got a long way to go, but I don't like some of the stuff I'm hearing. You know, they're talking about triggers and Olympia Snow is great. What do we need a trigger for? The day they passed the bill, they float this bogus report. They go on TV talking about how they're going to raise rates.
Yeah, Tracy,
so you
thank
know
you.
What they're going to do. Why
thank you.
Why are we playing games? You know.
Yeah, Tracy, they've already told us what they're going to do. They've already
thank
said
you.
We're going to raise premiums.
Thank you.
If you don't give us any competition, you know. I mean,
can we get this done? People call people. Get mad. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know what, Tracy? I love it because it seems like, you know, this really backfired. This may be what gets us the public option. Is that?
I hope so. I really do. I tell you what, you guys, I draw on your faith where this stuff goes because it gets just ridiculous at times.
Oh, well, Tracy, you shouldn't listen to me. I'm hopped up on 10 times more drugs than Rush Limbaugh this morning. But thank you. God bless you. Thanks, Tracy. I love you too, baby. All right.
What are you supposed to do with the whorehound candy? Drop it in a bucket of...
of Frangelico.
Frangelico. Okay.
Yes, and let it dissolve, and then take two tablespoons of that.
Whorehound candy. How appropriate.
Yes.
Hey! See what I did there? Because it sounds like something else.
Yeah, and I understand all the listeners' suggestions revolve around alcohol. I understand that.
Yes.
However, that's how you know it's really bad, when Mama's stopped drinking. Then you know.
Yeah, I don't... that's not good.
Yeah, that's when you know things have really gone awry.
Yes.
Is that because you don't want to counteractions with the medication?
Yeah, codeine and...
codeine and moonshine.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice D.D. Jim Morderby, Stephanie Miller. And I'm tweeting my ass off, by the way. How do you get to there, Chris?
Twitter.com/SM Show.
Oh, by the way, someone sent me a funny, John writes, Steph, when I search for Stephanie on Twitter, mm-hmm. it says, did you mean bow wow?
Oh, it gives you
I don't know if that refers to a position of her or it refers to my dogs. Max and Fred, Mama's going to come see you tomorrow, Max and Fred.
Fred?
All right. I've been, as you know, traveling the globe. I was in Madison this past weekend, where I think the Satan worshippers gave me this. Now
that's
I sound
right.
like Linda Blair.
Yes.
For real. Not as the impression.
Yes, that's for good. Okay.
You sound like you need some health care, and right now we have someone on the line who can talk about health care with you.
Wow, that was clunky.
Hey.
Let's hope that you don't ever have to host for a living.
I know.
Okay.
It's with Representative Elijah Cummings from the great state of Maryland.
Oh, thank goodness. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. It's good to be with you. Sorry, I'm running a little late this morning.
Oh, that's all right. I'm running nearly dead. I'm so sick.
Oh, my goodness.
But thank you for coming on with us. You know,
I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Well, you know, it's interesting. I've been telling this story on the air all morning that, you know, I'm here in New York. I live in L.A., and the couple of doctors that I was able to get, you know, a referral to, they don't take insurance. Doesn't that just show you even the doctors don't want to deal with insurance companies?
Yeah, it is. it's very alarming. You know, we had a fellow here, a 12-year-old, that made national news. He was he was on Medicaid actually, and he Del Monte driver. 2 years ago, he had a tooth infection that it would have taken $80 to repair, and the infection went to his brain, and sadly, he died. So, you know, this thing about health care reform is very, very serious. We have got to address this as if it is a life and death situation, because in many instances, it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and I'm, I guess I am heartened by the news. You know, it sounds like from what we've been saying, I mean, this ridiculous report that the insurance industry tried to put out on the eve of the Senate finance vote seems to have backfired and made it more likely they're going to get a public option, right?
As a matter of fact, it's amazing you said that. I was just, we just left our speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and we were in our Democratic conference, and one of the things that I said is one of the best pieces I want to say it in a nice way, a piece of stuff that was put out there was this insurance report. As a matter of fact, they made the case for a public option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really
mm-hmm.
did a good job. I mean, I know that's not what they're trying to do. But that's exactly, because what they basically said is, we don't care what you do, we're still going up on the rates, they're out with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's pretty much what it boiled down to.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, the good news is, I mean, your colleague, Congressman Wiener, was out saying that right away. They, you know, they shot themselves in the foot. They said he said they unwittingly did this, but they made the single best argument I've seen in a while for why you need a vigorous competitor for the health insurance industry. So, I mean, that's the thing, is they're coming out and saying it. That's what he said. He said they're freely saying, it doesn't matter what you guys in Congress do. We're going to keep raising our rates. There's a word for this. It's called chutzpah.
That's right. The other thing, too, is keep in mind, there are those, I mean, a lot of people have asked me, you know, how I feel about what has come out of the Senate, and I'm certainly not going to beat up on my Senate colleagues, but we will send out of the House, and it was just reaffirmed a few minutes ago by the Speaker, a robust public option, because we've got to be operating from a very strong standpoint when we sit down in conference. I don't know what's going to come out of the Senate. Hopefully they will have some form of a public option in their legislation, but basically we cannot ask people to go back, first of all, mandate that they have insurance, and then ask them to go back to the same insurance companies that either dropped them or went up on their premiums phenomenally when they got sick, or shortchanged them when they thought they had a certain amount of coverage, and come to find out, as a lady did who had a baby here in Maryland, she thought she had coverage to cover her baby, all the services leading up to the birth of the baby and the birth of the baby, but come to find out she was given a $22,000 bill on her way out the door of the hospital with her newborn. I mean, we've got a deal, and then we're going to ask people to go through all that, to then go to these same insurance companies to get a new policy and mandate it.
Yep.
You know that, and I mean, people are going to say, they're going to look at us like we're crazy. Basically, what we're trying to do is give people an opportunity to have a choice. We also want to make sure that we control the cost of these premiums, because the president is right. People can keep what they have, but if you can't afford what you have, what difference does it make?
Well, that's what I was saying, Congressman, that I learned yesterday, as we've always said. It's like, you know, all this, oh, we have the best health care in the world. It's like, well, if you can afford it, you know, if I can afford a doctor on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, you know, on a day's notice that won't take insurance, you know, but a lot of us can't.
That's right. That's exactly right. Let me tell you a little bit about, in my district, I have a very diverse district in Baltimore, and I also represent a rather affluent county, Howard County, and which is right outside of Baltimore. And let me tell you, when I go to town hall meetings in the city, and I ask the people there to raise your hand if you have gone to if you know someone who passed away in the last year who you believe should still be here, but for either a lack of insurance, insufficient insurance, or poor treatment when they got treatment, how many people know of people that's what you concluded when you heard that they had passed away and heard the circumstances? Usually I've got 80% of the people raising their hands.
Yep. No, Congressman, there was another, it's escaping me the name of another, you know, one of those bipartisan, you know, worldwide studies they just did.
One just came out of Hopkins, Johns Hopkins, which is in my district, that shows 45,000 people, at least 45,000 people dying a year.
Right, but I mean, but this was a worldwide. Yeah, absolutely, Congressman. But this was a worldwide ranking that we rank dead last in preventable deaths.
You know,
I mean, and how the right wing keeps parroting, oh, we have health, best health care in the world. I don't know. You know, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. The other thing I think we need to keep in mind, you know, it is not the all-American spirit to say what we can't do. We are a can-do nation.
Yep.
That's how we got to be as powerful as we have become. And I get tired of my colleagues saying that we can't sit down and figure out a way to come up with a health reform plan which allows all of our people to be taken care of. There's something wrong with that picture.
Yep.
I mean, come on now. I mean, I think it's almost like being a patriotic in the United States to say what we can do, not what we can't do.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Congressman Elijah Cummings of the great state of Maryland, thank you so much for taking time for us and for keep fighting that
thank
big fight
you.
On health care. Thank you, sir.
It's been a true honor.
No, thank you. There he goes. Oh, my. Okay.
Uh-oh.
What?
I just got an email from Brad Friedman saying he could be in the studio in 15 minutes. He's in New York right now. So if you need somebody to take
over. Are we having an All About Eve moment? Is that what
No, we're not having an All About Eve. But we want you, Stephanie.
I understand that Miss Miller is feeling a little under the weather. I'd be happy to fill in.
But all you right. are, Blanche.
No. Thank you for all your, by the way, kind get well. Some people are just saying stay home, get off the air, you're making me sick. But a lot of people are saying get well and sending kind suggestions. Oh, here's one that made me feel better. Sonny says, because you remember Dick Morris said that I believe the president is trying to reverse the American Revolution with his socialism.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure that can be done.
I don't think so.
But Sonny sees the bright side. Yes, Steph, but if we rescind the American Revolution, can we get National Health Service? I'm just saying, there could be a silver lining.
Sure,
Sonny.
Yeah, so we'll be eligible for National Health in Great Britain.
There you go. Oh, get my Beavis and Butthead ready. Arlen in Monterey with a very sophomoric suggestion. Hey, Steph, I would suggest a healthcare debate on your show with Anthony Weiner, John Boner, and Dick Armey. The ratings would rise and give stiff competition to rival shows.
Yeah. We'd give the other shows the shaft.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with some more celebrity stack, including the governor. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Maria is in trouble. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, yes, yes, I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-oh, only 4 minutes. It is the
only 4 minutes,
Miller
Show. Steph.
23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steffi. Hey. Sorry you're sick. You sound just awful.
Thank
Actually,
you. Thank you.
You sound like a female Dick Morris. You just need to get a little more winded.
Yeah, exactly.
And just take care of yourself, man. I've been sick since the show, but mine's my fibromyalgia is all goofy because of Wisconsin weather. It sucks.
It's the Wisconsin weather that did this to me. That and your incessant Satan worshiping.
And I think everyone should email Ed and say that I think you should be a regular on his show.
Oh, well, isn't that a dandy idea?
I'm serious.
Well, let's just hope I can get through tonight without hacking up my other lung on him. Thank you, Steph.
No, you should take a time out and get better there, girl.
Yeah,
and
I know.
There's
no time for
time
out. All right, thank you, yeah. Steph. Yeah. There's no time for time out, for God's sake.
You don't get timeouts in radio.
No, there's no crying and there's no time out. Yeah. The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, he's like, sounds great. Get back in there. Mm-hmm.
There's no crying in baseball.
All right. So I believe, boy, I mentioned that Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is calling out his wife, Maria, for apparently violating a state law that he signed, holding her cell phone while driving. Did you see this? TMZ caught her twice holding a phone to her ear while she's behind the wheel. On his Twitter feed, Schwarzenegger wrote to the TMZ founder, Harvey Levin, thanks for bringing her violations to my attention. There's going to be swift action.
Uh-oh.
Because he's an action hero. Yeah, we have that.
I want to thank TMZ for calling to my attention that my wife Maria has been breaking the law with the holding of the phone to the ear and the putting out of the makeup and the eating of the chimichangas during the driving of the hummus and all of this. I promise you, there will be swift action. Not the kind of action in my movies, like the driving of the car under the police station wall or the crushing of the enemies and seeing them driven before you and the lamentations of the women or going to Mars with the popping out of the eyeballs and things of this nature. But it will be hot action with the cracking of the whips and the twisting of the nipple clamps and the pulling of the hair and these kinds of things. I would also like to thank TMZ for the pictures of the celebutards climbing out of the limos without the wearing of the underpants and the flashing of the naughty bits and all of these things. Yeah! Maria, I just met a girl named Maria. Oof. Suddenly that name will never be the same to me. Yeah.
Oh. Yes, sir.
Speaking of celebrities on cell phones in their car, I pulled up at a stoplight yesterday, and who was on a cell phone next to me?
Who?
Tori Spelling. How random is that?
That's pretty random.
Uh-huh.
All right.
My ex-wife actually was almost run over by Richard Simmons and Robert Downey Jr. at different times.
While they were on cell phones?
Well, no. I didn't think so. Well, I mean, he might have been on the cell phone.
That's quite a claim to fame.
Wow. Okay. All right. Cool.
Okay. What was that thing he did? Something to the oldies? Doing? What did
sweating
he do?
To the oldies.
Sweating to the oldies. Oldies. She would have been dying to the oldies.
Okay.
Yeah. NBC's bold experiment faltered in the third week of television's new season, The Jay Leno Show. None of its five editions scored higher than number 60. All of CBS's 10 p.m. dramas last week had more than twice as many viewers as Leno. Oh.
Oops.
Oh.
All right. I can't do my Leno.
No. Oh. And now, you'll just go into a coughing jag. See? There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Swallow it.
And now there's no... Oh, how many times have I heard that?
Hey.
There's no point in doing this story because I can't do my Cyndi Lauper, but Captain Lou Albano has died.
That's sad.
I worked with him on the Mario Super Brothers? Mario Brothers show.
Oh, really?
A couple
nice
times,
guy?
Yeah.
He seemed like a nice guy.
Cyndi Lauper seemed to like him.
Yes.
Rowdy Roddy Piper, you'll get yours. That was close enough.
Oh,
Cyndi Lauper with a cold.
Yeah. Don't try that again, please.
Oh, my God. Our noted doctor of bull bleepology. You know I don't travel with my box. Thank you.
Bull.
Ology.
Mm-hmm.
He's facing yet another lawsuit.
You know, Dr. Phil? Was...
Yes.
Another one about naked men with their genitals hanging out.
Yes. That one. A woman filed suit last week saying that he touched her breast and forced her to stay in his office with a naked man. And now he's been hit with a second lawsuit. It claimed a woman was forced to be in the same room with another completely naked man who was exposing his entire naked body, genitals and all.
Oh.
Huh.
How's that working out for her, I wonder? 28 minutes after the hour. Oh, a little more celebrity stock with our favorite birther leader next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This industry moves so fast, it's really hard to tell. That's why I need a name that's cutting edge, like
Stephanie Miller.
There you go. All right. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Rita from Brooklyn writes, Steph, sorry to hear you're fighting this mucosal mess. The Hubs and I had the same thing this summer. We decided swine flu and H1N1 don't sufficiently describe the misery we went through, so we called it the tsunami of snot.
Thank
you, Rita.
Dude.
Thank you, Rita. Thank you very much. That's really what it is.
Oh.
Shirley in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
sweetheart, is this a sympathy pain here? We are such devoted listeners that we are all sick here. The only problem is that we don't have the advantage of any doctor. We don't even know whether it's the swine flu or the regular flu.
I know. That's what I was wondering. I have no idea what I have, even.
The thing is, I want to talk about Congressman Grayson when he talked about the deaths that happens every year. I wanted to use the term dead man walking. I'm frightened because I think we might be one of those statistics that he's talking about, because we are the underinsured. My husband has insurance, but yeah, right. I want you to ask any legislature, any senator or congressman that comes on your show. I think it was Sherrod Brown that said all Harry Reid has to do is put the public option on the floor.
Yes.
And the only way that we could have the 60-vote BS working for us is they have to vote it out, and there's no way that 60
Right. You know what? I heard that too, Shirley. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Howard Dean or somebody else I saw on TV said the same thing yesterday. They said if Harry Reid puts it in, they need 60 votes to get it out,
right,
the public option. So for sure, call Harry Reid's office. Thank you, Shirley.
And talk about it with any legislature. That's
I will.
Great.
I will talk about it with Representative Bobby Scott in just about a half an hour.
That's
all
right?
Right. Thank you, Shirley.
Oh, no.
Look at me still doing my teases while I'm half dead.
You're not half dead.
When I got one leg in the ground, I'll still be teasing what's coming up in the afterlife.
Although you are spreading your bacteria.
Coming up in a half an hour in the afterlife.
Are they going to burn the microphone that you're talking
about? Yeah, you are just spraying that thing with all kinds of viruses and whatnot.
Oh, dear God. Carl in New Orleans, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Carl.
Steph, thanks for taking my call. I hope you're feeling better in the mood. Jim, that is funny stuff, man.
Oh,
I really need you in the morning just to get me through it. Right, what I'm calling about is Keith Olbermann's show last night. I don't know if you saw it. They had a segment called Tea Partiers Target Republicans.
Yeah.
And they showed a Tea Party meeting where Senator Lindsey Graham was taking questions.
Did you see? It was awesome.
Awesome.
I mean, first of all, he is such a right-winger. I'm sorry. And it was, like, hilarious. He is not right-wing enough for this new Republican Party.
Oh, but I loved it when they called him a war criminal. The Tea Partiers calling him a war criminal.
I know.
And Senator Bush a war criminal.
Well, it's Carl, like, you know, Keith Olbermann said it last night. They've gone so far right, they're left now.
But I thought it was great, so I thought I'd mention that. All right. Thanks for taking my
call. Thank you, baby.
Yeah, they've unleashed a monster that they can't control.
I know. It was great. I mean, he's getting heckled like he's some flaming liberal.
And he's not.
I know. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll get to that more later. Oh, by the way, I think Jim Ward is the cure. That's probably why I'm sick, Chris, because I'm here in New York, not with Jim.
Uh-huh.
Jeff in Madison writes, Steph, I just realized my entire psychological well-being can be directly linked to Jim Ward listing counties in California in the voice of Kim Jong-un. It's amazing how I went from work depressed to genuinely gleeful after our hearing K to the J in the ill with his knowledge of the Golden State's counties.
Sausalito, San Luis Obispo, Los Angeles.
See? I'm feeling better already.
Tuolumne.
Tuolumne.
Tulare.
Tulare. Tulare. Oh.
Lassen. Thank you, Jim. I think we all feel better now.
Prasa County.
Lassen, sorry?
Lassen, yes.
Well, mm-hmm.
Lassen and Prasa.
Okay. Do it again. Okay.
Contra Costa.
Contra Costa County. Alameda County.
Love it. How about Paso Robles?
Is there a Paso Robles?
It just has an R in it.
Yeah.
Paso Robles. Tongue reach all the way to Paso Robles.
See, funny. Okay. The other thing that made me feel better yesterday, the judge sanctioned the birther attorney, Orly Taint.
Ha-ha.
He didn't let her finish, Jim.
You didn't let me finish. But before you find me, let me finish. Then you will know the thing. You will be done.
He fined the Orly Taint for challenging President Obama's citizenship and warned her against using the legal system to pursue, quote, political rhetoric and insults. The judge, who was, of course, appointed by Bush, said lawyer/dentist Orly Taint filed frivolous litigation, attempted to misuse the federal courts to push a political agenda. He dismissed the lawsuit, but Taint's continued filing motions. So he fined her $20,000, quote, as a deterrent to prevent future misconduct and protect the integrity of the court. He said the absolute absence of any legitimate legal argument combined with a political diatribe in her motions demonstrates that Ms. Tate's purpose is to advance a political agenda and not to pursue a legitimate legal cause of action.
You think?
He said the federal courts are reserved for hearing genuine legal disputes, not as a platform for political rhetoric and insults. Tate's called the order an absolute outrage. She said, all I can say is this order issued with a goal is with a goal to intimidate me, harass me, and retaliate against me for bringing a legitimate action on behalf
of
my client.
You Brownshirt, you Nazi! I give you root canal without anesthesia. Let me finish.
Not without anesthesia. In other entertainment news, Bill O'Reilly, what the fox? Fox News, happy birthday. They're 13.
Oh, happy birthday.
So just as unruly and adolescent as ever.
Yeah. I actually watched them on their very first day.
Ooh.
I know. They were vastly different than they are today.
Yeah, I told you I was on Bill O'Reilly's show when he was normal.
When it was the O'Reilly Report. That was the name of his show when they first started.
You know, I've told you this before, that they all, the people that make it really big, they all figure out at some point that they have to get crazier. Because I started with a lot of them, Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter and, Glenn Beck,
Laura
and they
Ingram.
Weren't that crazy.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not nearly crazy enough, as crazy as I am, and you guys know I'm a crazy bitch.
Yes, you are.
But I am not the right kind of crazy to be a billionaire. I've got to figure this out. Anyway, here's the Get the Drama Sting ready. He actually wrote he said happy birthday to Fox News. There is no question FNC leans to the right.
Wow.
Huh? They're finally admitting it?
Wow.
Their voice
O'Reilly
is changing.
Let that slip.
Wow.
I had no idea. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the White House war on Fox News myself. That was your cue to play the White House war on Fox News.
The President of the United States delivered his message that will ask for a declaration of war.
This is a battle that the White House has launched on Fox News.
A state which will live in infamy.
He declared war on Fox News.
Fox News operates as either the research arm or the communications arm of the Republican Party.
Another White House attack on Fox News. Let's bring in Fox News senior political analyst, Britt Hume.
No, they criticize us as Republican.
Mayday, mayday, helicopter.
Still a center-right country.
Mayday,
mayday. And they have the House.
He declared war on Fox News. The president will appear on Fox News sometime, possibly before the end of the year, but we have been told that all of our requests have been denied.
Fox News.
Chickens! Coming home to
roost. Thank you, Shano. Meanwhile, on our side, all things are love. Can I have my love music, please? Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said if she had won the presidential election, Barack Obama would absolutely have served in her cabinet as
it's
well.
It's clear.
Yes. She talked about when he called her. She said, he said, I want you to be my Secretary of State. And I said, oh, no, you don't. I said, oh, please, there's so many other people who could do this. But, you know, we kept talking. And I finally began thinking, look, if I'd won, I called him. I would have wanted him to say yes. And, you know, I'm pretty old-fashioned, and it's just who I am. So at the end of the day, when your president asks you to serve, you say yes. She said, asked if she would have made the same call to him. Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, yes.
Oh.
It's also...
Don't try the laugh. You'll
no,
laugh.
I won't.
No. That can only end badly.
Thank God we have that in my box. All right.
Hillary's in your box?
Wow.
All right.
That is news.
Okay.
What?
What? All right. 42 minutes after the hour, speaking of powerful Democratic women, we'll tell you when Nancy Pelosi says we're going to get health care.
Okay.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, that's very sweet. Tony writes, I hope Stephanie loses her voice permanently so America does not have to hear the lying liberal double standard crap that comes out of her foul mouth. Thank you, Tony. That's very kind of you. Kate in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, Kate couldn't hold on.
Oh, Kate, come on. I'm here playing hurt, and you can't hang on for me for a few minutes. Can I get a little help from the backstage crew?
Maybe she had to go cough up some lung butter.
Perhaps. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We do have Representative Bobby Scott coming up just after the top of the hour to check in on health care. In the meantime, Senator Harry Reid yesterday said this about the public option.
I believe in a public option. Remember I said I do.
But what?
Huh?
What? Yeah. Okay.
You're in a leadership position.
What kind of weird talk is that?
Yeah, he forgets that he's in the leadership position, that he's they're supposed to do what he says.
Oh, me? I'm in charge.
Oh,
really?
I'm in charge? Oh, that's disappointing.
We need some new leadership. I'm sorry.
As one of our callers brought up and people pointed out, Harry Reid can put the bill, put the public option in the bill. They would need 60 votes to get it out,
right,
which would be impossible.
Oh, well, I would hate for people to be upset with me for any reason.
Well, they're upset with you now for a lot of reasons. The people you're supposedly fighting for.
Yeah. The good news, we've been talking to the lawmakers, Senator Stabenow this morning and Representative Cummings, is, this ridiculous survey they put out, this may really have increased the chances, of us getting an actual public option. The insurance industry may have unwittingly helped the case for public coverage with that report over the weekend, asserting that the finance bill would raise premiums for everybody. As Senator Stabenow said, oh, really? And who would raise those premiums? Oh, you would. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, we have no control over it. It just would happen. It's a natural consequence.
And then it would be the Senate's fault. Yeah. So advocates now of the public option getting creative, trying to reformulate the public option in a way that can gain the 60 votes needed to clear the Senate. Again, why can't we just get Harry Reid to put in a robust public option and be done with it? People are coming up with different approaches instead of all or nothing. Senator Tom Carper of Delaware, Democrat of Delaware, says, what if each state could decide whether to offer public coverage instead of having it decreed from Washington? Or what if states had a menu of options from nonprofit co-ops to using their own employee health plans? What if public coverage were offered only as a backstop in areas where one insurer has a lock on the market? Chuck Schumer said, we're all talking together, trying to find something that not everyone will love, but the entire Democratic caucus can come to an agreement on. So, there was news about Senator Ghostly, about Esmeralda yesterday. On healthcare.
Senator Susan Collins of Maine, you mean?
Yeah, she's the one that made the pandemic flu funds disappear. Thanks a lot, now that I have some sort of flu. Thanks. She said yesterday that she may vote for health care. But she said the Senate finance, that pile of dreck?
Yep.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too radical for her.
Well, then what kind of health care reform does she want?
I don't know. So Olympia Snow.
I don't think the insurance companies are making enough money.
She does sound like Esmeralda from Bewitched.
She sounds like Alice Ghostly. Yep, absolutely.
Okay, and it looks a little like her, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was mentioning this earlier that Representative Anthony Weiner was the first one that talked about this health insurance industry study.
Mm-hmm.
He said the 11th hour attempt to scuttle health care reform in the Senate may have inadvertently strengthened the case for what it fears most, a public health care option. He said they unwittingly did this, but they made the single best argument I've seen in a while for why you need a vigorous competitor for the health insurance industry, namely a public plan. He also said his Democratic colleagues on the Hill are wondering why the health insurance industry would declare plans to raise rates after being given millions of new customers through the health reform plan's individual mandate, which compels uninsured people to buy insurance. He said they're saying clearly that unless they have some competition, they're not going to contain costs themselves. We're going to circulate this health care report as an example of why we need the public option. And meanwhile, it may also get something else really good done, and that is what Chuck Schumer is trying to do. He on Wednesday called for an amendment to the health care reform bill that would remove the longstanding antitrust exemption for insurers. He said the health insurance antitrust exemption is one of the worst accidents of American history. It deserves a lot of the blame for the huge rise in premiums that have made health care insurance so unaffordable. It's time to end this special status and bring true competition to the health insurance industry. And I say good for him. They're going to
as Teddy Roosevelt would have said.
I guess the private health insurance business shouldn't have tried to piss off the Democrats. it may have given them the spinal transplant that they've long needed.
Well, most of them, anyway. Didn't give Harry Reid a spinal transplant.
No.
Sorry.
Senator Mitch McChinless, Republican of Kentucky.
We know what the core of the bill will be. It'll be higher premiums, higher taxes, and cuts in Medicare.
Yeah, well, that's it. Don't give the insurance companies any competition.
And also, blue monkeys will fly into your house and steal your children. And,
blue monkeys with big red butts.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't see that provision.
No?
I'm sure it's in one of those radical House bills.
Yeah.
Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of the great state of New York.
The fact that the insurance industry is no longer part of the compromise, so to speak, may make it easier for it to pass, but it's a good idea whether they're part of the compromise or not.
T and then a he. And Representative Nancy Pelosi, House Leader, on when we will get health care.
We're right on track, and I'm hopeful that we'll have a bill by Thanksgiving. Others say Christmas, certainly this year.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You know, Mama's always right. I think that's one universal truth.
Sure.
Don't mess with me this morning.
Oh, okay. You're all hopped up on goofballs.
Yeah, I'm hopped up on so many goofballs, I don't even know what they are.
Oh, there you go again. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
However, I've been saying this for a long time, that, you know, healthcare is obviously a very emotional debate, but I think in general, this is what watching the sausage being made sounds like. And by the way, the Steph streamers on StephanieMiller.com have been able to hear what this sausage is like.
Yes, because we talked.
You can listen during the commercial break.
Yes, we talked to you down the line during the commercial break at the top of the hour.
It's one of the many wonders of StephanieMiller.com.
Yes, but it's only available at StephanieMiller.com.
Mm-hmm.
Gling.
You can hear lung butter being hacked up in real time.
Mm-hmm. You get to hear the spittoon that you don't hear on the air portion. But anyway, I think that's what a lot of people have been trying to point out, that we are way, way further than we have ever been. There you go. That's for the rest, because people were feeling left out.
Yeah.
They're only listening on air and not on 79.com.
Wow, that's a
It's like that bit Paula Poundstone used to do about when the pilot tells you what you can see out of the left side of the plane,
we
and so all the people on the right side of the plane
right
feel
side.
Bad.
Yes.
People on the right side of the plane, you can't see anything.
We hate you on the right side of the plane.
People on the left side of the plane can see the Grand Canyon and blue monkeys flying out of Mitch McConnell's ass. People on the right side of the plane, you get nothing. Anyway, but my point is, we are farther than we've ever been in terms of the sausage making. Yeah, we've gotten bills through all the committees. Now it's, you know, here's the one thing I love that they fearmonger about. Oh, now this bill is just going to be written in private. And I say, good. I think we call the Republicans now to go down to storage room B. That's where they go. We're going to need you to get the hell out now.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
Yeah, we're going to need to get a lot of the dreck out of the Max Baucus bill. Wouldn't that be nice if they just, okay, hey, Max, thanks for that one. Thanks. Okay.
Try again.
Yeah, run along now.
Okay, good. Yeah, oh, oops, did this not get in the pile with the other bills? We're sorry. Okay, yeah, thanks for you. Oh, God, thanks for all your help. That is great. You did great work. Thanks.
Loser.
But, yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope that, as a lot of Congress people have told us, that if they come in with a really robust option from the House, I mean, that's the art of compromise, that we are going to get something meaningful, you know, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
If we had less Democrats like Joe Lieberman, who told Don Imus that he does not support the Senate Finance Committee's health care bill, Lieberman said, I'm concerned there's a danger we're trying to do too much.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned we might actually get health care for people who don't deserve it at the expense of the insurance companies.
By the way, here's a little fun fact. Lieberman has accepted about $2.4 million in donations from the health sector.
Really?
Yeah. And over a million from the insurance industry over his...
I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
They call Hartford, Connecticut, the insurance city.
Interesting. Yeah. Going too fast, according to Senator Lieberman. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Bobby Scott in a rollicking right-wing world on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show on more drugs than the Rush Limbaugh program just for today. I can't afford to buy a football team either because I had to spend it all on Mucinex. However, thank you for all your kind thoughts at StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. A lot of sound-alike letters, Chris. Scott in Lakewood. Steph, as if you aren't sexy enough, you sound like Kim Carnes singing Betty Davis songs. Cough up some phlegm on me, baby.
Whatever
you're into. You know what? There is a sexy cold voice. I don't think this is it. Do you, Jim?
No, you know what? You do sound kind of sexy, I have to say.
I've heard the words cute, pitiful. let's see. Harry says, you sound like Cher today. I guess that's Frank Sam, please. Yeah. Although, Mel says, with your cute husky voice, you did a very credible Paula Poundstone. That's true. Paula Poundstone sounds like she's had the swine flu for several years. People on the right side of the plane.
Massachusetts accent.
And Mike in Austin, Texas, I think is being overly kind. Steph, I thought when I watched Michael Jordan play in the NBA Finals with the flu, it was the most incredible performance I've ever experienced, but your performance on today's show beats that one hands down. Mike in Austin, well, I don't know.
Now, do you feel bad or do you just sound bad?
Yes.
You feel bad.
Yes, I both feel like crap and sound like crap.
Sound bad than to feel bad.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, then you're more of a trooper than I thought you were.
Yeah, thank you. I would like all the credit that I can possibly get. And somebody fighting the good fight on health care as well, Representative Bobby Scott, Democrat of the great state of Virginia. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm clearly not well, but thank you for asking.
No, you need some health care. We're trying to help you out.
I'm telling you, I've been telling this story all morning, Congressman, that I'm visiting in New York this week. I live in L.A., and so I had to try to find a doctor on a day's notice. And the two doctors I was referred to, neither of them take insurance. Even they don't want to deal with the insurance companies. What do you do about that? I mean, that's the problem.
Well, we're trying to make sure that everybody has coverage.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, everybody, this whole, like, oh, we have the best health care. Well, if you can afford it, I guess we do. But that's the problem. A lot of us can't.
Well, and that's what we're working with. 46 million Americans don't have insurance. The costs are going through the roof. Those with pre-existing conditions can't get any insurance, and we can do better. And we have a plan that will provide coverage for everybody.
Congressman, I have to ask because I'm so sick this morning. Is that your phone or are my ears ringing?
No, that's a notice that we have a vote coming up.
Oh. Okay. What are you voting on?
Ordering the previous question, just procedural vote to bring up a rule so that we can consider a conference report.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounded very
important. Yeah.
Very geeky and congressional. But Congressman, you know, I've been talking to some of your colleagues this morning, and it seems to me like that this ridiculous survey that the insurance companies put out really has, you know, made our case for the public option, hasn't it?
Well, one of the things that we know we have a problem. Everybody agrees on that, and you can't solve the problem piecemeal. Like everybody agrees that the pre-existing condition problem, you ought to be able to buy insurance, notwithstanding the fact that you have a pre-existing condition. But you can't solve that unless you do it in the context of universal coverage. I mean, if people can wait till they get sick before they buy insurance, then only sick people will have insurance, and the costs will spiral out of control. So you have to have some mechanism to get universal coverage, which means you got to have mandates and subsidies for those that can't afford it. And so when you start talking about being able to afford it, when you start talking about a public option, but you have to have if you're making people buy insurance, you cannot force people to buy insurance. In most states, it's a sole source, essentially a sole source. You can't make people buy insurance from a sole source for-profit corporation without any competition.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
You know that's not going to work. So that's what the public option is doing there. The idea that co-ops will provide the competition, there's no evidence to support that. We've had co-ops for 50 years. Most of them collapse. A few of them survive. Just a handful have survived, and they don't provide real meaningful competition. So you're back to forcing people to buy insurance from for-profit, sole source. I mean, you know, that's people know that's not going to work. So you have to have a public option or something meaningful in its place. And there's been nothing that's been offered that's really meaningful.
Well, exactly. I mean, the president said he'll listen to other options. But, you know, I think that now that we're at the point of melding the bills, I mean, I think that, and I actually have hope at this point, we are going to get a meaningful public option. Do you?
Well, I think so. The process now is to just kind of piecemeal the thing, and we're kind of putting it together as we go along. The Senate Finance Committee version will obviously not be the final version. The House version will not be the final version. So, you know, we will put together the final version, will be drafted in conference, and the final version has to make sense. And if you have a plan where you're forcing people to buy insurance without any competition, everybody knows that's not going to work. If you don't have a universal coverage, you can't cure the pre-existing condition situation because people would wait till they get sick. So, I mean, you have to have a comprehensive plan that works, and there's nothing that's been suggested that has any chance of working except those plans with a meaningful public option.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, we appreciate you taking time for us, as always, and I think that bell means you're late already, so we appreciate you coming out.
I can get there.
All right. Thank you, Congressman. We'll talk to you soon.
Good. Thank you, Stephanie.
There he goes. Representative Bobby Scott from the great state of Virginia.
The Commonwealth of Virginia. And he is my mommy and daddy's Congressman.
Right. Barbie and Ken.
She
didn't know he represented Barbie and Ken. And Scooter.
Chris's parents' names are actually Barbie and Ken.
Well, Ken and Barbara, yes. But
they live in the beach house?
Oh, is that how they try to disguise it? It's Barbara. It's Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were wrong then, weren't they?
What all hump?
Right. All right. People have been all morning saying who I sound like, and I don't know whether this will help or hurt my Katharine Hepburn impression, which is almost my only one.
Mm-hmm.
But you were asking me if I only do on Golden Pond, and I said no.
Right.
So Agnes was nice enough to say, Steph, here are some things Katharine Hepburn said as Eleanor of Aquitaine in Lion in Winter.
Okay.
Okay, he sees some. This is to her husband, King Henry III.
O'Toole.
Yes, Peter O'Toole. I wonder, do you ever wonder if I slept with your father? It's a lie, but there are rumors. Don't you ever wonder? Thank you. I think it's from
Katharine Hepburn with the gold.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another one. We did it. You were in the next room when he did it. I don't know what that refers to. Okay, thank you. And then, okay, here we go. Well, what family doesn't have its ups and downs? And then, by the way, I'm right, because I'm right about everything Agnes writes. Actually, I think there is a point in the movie where she says, I must have the Aquitaine. Okay, so I was right about that.
Something similar to that. I don't think it's quite that.
I think it is.
All right.
Liz in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin writes, Steph, just want to make sure, make your I don't understand microphone technology sister head explode with this black hole conundrum. My sister, I took an hour to explain to her how I can do the show from New York.
Uh-huh.
When you guys are in L.A. and I can still be heard all over.
Right.
She doesn't understand that I don't have to be everywhere that I'm heard.
That they make things called ISDN lines.
Yeah, there's things and wires mm-hmm. and stuff.
Yeah.
I just saw you at the Madison in Madison at the Barrymore Theater this past Saturday night. Shook your hand before the show, so I know it was really you and not a CNN hologram. I listened to your show on Monday, and you were in New York. Wah. And here's the mind-blowing part. I'll listen to the heavily edited Barrymore show next Sunday that was recorded on Saturday. Drama sting. But how can that be? Will I need to go back to the Barrymore and get stuck in some Groundhog Day karma loop? I can't take another hangover like that. Seriously, Liz. And, Mama, if, my voice holds up, we'll be on The Ed Show tonight on MSNBC, everybody.
What are the
chances
of that?
And I had to turn down the Rachel Maddow show last night. It was very, very sad. Because, she has swine flu, and so do I, apparently.
Yes.
But Allison Stewart was guest hosting, and I was supposed to be on, but I couldn't.
Well, you're in good company. You're now in the company of Sanjay Gupta, Rachel Maddow, and Major Garrett.
I know. I don't know if it's swine flu. It's some sort of something. I don't know.
All right. Betty in Albuquerque has something for you. Let's go to her. Hey, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hey, Stephanie. There's a lot of people out here that really care about you an awful lot. You got to take care of yourself. Ask one of the guys to go out to the store and get you some fresh cilantro and boil it up just like you would a tea bag and drink it, and that's going to help you tremendously. It's natural medicine.
Okay.
And the other thing that I wanted to say to you is the holidays are right around the corner, and there's a load of us out there that are depending on you to boost the spirits, girl. So you get well, okay?
All right. Thank you, honey. Damn it. Somebody give me some cilantro. You too. Go to the store in L.A. Get on a plane. Get out.
You know, I think there's a Whole Foods in Manhattan you can get some cilantro at. Send cilantro. The guy who owns the show.
Yeah. What kind of fancy-dancy thing is that, cilantro?
I don't know if cilantro would be good as a tea.
All right, Mike in Washington State, who is the smartest boy in class today on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Staff, we need to replace Don't Ask, Don't Tell with Don't Know, Don't Care. Thank you, Mike. You're the smartest. I love this story from the Fun Stack, by the way, because
yay.
Police in Oklahoma said they arrested a man who allegedly beat his roommate with a harmonica.
We did that yesterday.
Yes. Well, it's not as good as Gary Skoyn, who, as you know, Republican, whose wife beat him with a toy guitar.
The guitar made an appearance in the bit, too.
Oh. Yeah.
And the guitar.
Yes, it was a... after finding him in the basement with a couple of hookers in the kids' playroom. Which would explain why there was a toy guitar and his name is Goy.
Beat him with a Guitar Hero guitar. Absolutely.
Which I think does a little more damage than a harmonica. What can you do with a harmonica?
A harmonica, you can't get any leverage because it's so short. There's no torque.
Well, you can if you hold it like it. You know, like a...
Oh, like a knife?
Yeah, it's like... Bam,
like
somebody
a
in the,
stabbing thing?
You could, like hit him in the... In the temple. With the edge of a harmonica, you can do some damage.
I thought
this through.
Yeah, apparently you have, Jim.
Stop that. I have a kazoo, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Playing at a bar, and they start throwing bottles, and you know you get into a scuffle, and you just brain someone with the edge of your harmonica.
All right.
Why, thank you, Jim.
Or you can do some damage with a chromatic. That could
What's
be
a chromatic?
It's a bigger harmonica with button to change.
What about like a keytar?
Okay. All right, let's move on. Anyway, so, you know, we mentioned Senator Joe Lieberman, who I find generally to be useless.
Yes, he is.
Oh, speaking of which, there was that guy with nunchucks that wanted to beat Joe Lieberman up. That was in Connecticut. I did that story.
Ow.
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 That's what he told the police. I wanted to beat Joe Lieberman up. and we were saying, because he was saying we're going too fast on the health care. We're trying to do too much. We can't do that now.
Right.
Whatever. Here's the dilemma of people like Joe Lieberman. So he's of no use, in my opinion, on health care. However, he's apparently in talks with the White House about repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell because he sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Wow.
Okay. What can you do?
That's,
we have no choice but to keep him around, I suppose.
That's useful, I suppose, yeah.
Hmm.
Unless he replaces
it with something even more odious.
Yeah.
Yes. Unless Ned Lamont comes on the scene with a pair of nunchucks and a harmonica. And then we can solve it. And a toy guitar. And then...
Scoing.
And then we might be able to solve our Lieberman problem.
Yes.
All right. You know what, kids? 19 minutes after the hour, we have a quite the rollicking right-wing world as we continue, including Michael Steele, who, can I just say, that's a weird dude. That is
weird.
That's just the way I roll, baby.
And he gets weirder every day.
He's a weird dude.
Oreos, yum.
Right back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation Instant Bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show running on fumes from New York City. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Sheila in New York with the best sound-alike yet. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I'm the official portable pole of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
And I have another impression for your repertoire. You need to do Marlo Thomas from That Girl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She always used to say, oh, Donald, I'm so upset.
Oh, Donald. Oh, Daddy. See, I can do it.
Perfect.
You're right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
thank you, Sheila.
I didn't even look like her. So,
oh, thank you. And I do have that hair flip sometimes.
Yes, you do.
You could be the new That Girl.
You need to go into Central Park and fly a kite.
I think I will.
We should pitch it. We should pitch you as the new
Marlo Thomas.
Girl.
Daddy. Daddy!
I think you're a little too old to be an ingenue, though.
That's true.
All right, Donald in Seattle with some advice for Ed Schultz when I'm on his show tonight on MSNBC. Hello, Don.
Hello. I have two suggestions for you on how to take advantage of your phlegm voice. One, okay. Now is the perfect time for you to do your impression of Katharine Hepburn on her deathbed. Uh-huh. And the other one is when you go on the Ed Schultz show, have them set up a visual effect where while you're talking in that voice, they can spin your head around 360.
Oh, no.
And you roll with it, Mama. Roll with it.
And what if I die on set? I wonder. Let's see how good an ad-libber Ed Schultz is.
What a way to go down, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
You might as well go down on the set of MSNBC.
You know, thank God I'm not going on Fox News. Do you remember, Chris, that one bite we played Mara Liasson, who's like, I guess she serves as whatever, yeah. Serves as a liberal on Fox News?
Yeah.
She literally had a choking fit one time, like she almost was coughing up a lung, uh-huh. And they just ignored her.
Yeah.
Of course.
And I'm like, what are the chances, even when like a semi-liberal gets to kind of talk? Obviously, Charles Krauthammer slipped something to her, and she was literally like, and they all just ignored her.
Yeah.
Just
like, yeah, they just moved on to Charles Krauthammer.
Oh, God.
And Charles Krauthammer, sitting right next to her, is a physician.
Yeah,
he could have done something.
Could you help? Or could you put down your Republican talking points for a second?
No, I hope she dies.
Oh, by the way, Shano has sent us the actual Katharine Hepburn from Lion in Winter.
I want the Aquitaine.
See?
I want the Aquitaine. Yes. I must have.
Instead of I must have.
Yes, I want the Aquitaine.
I want the Aquitaine. I want the Aquitaine.
Oh, wait a minute, there's one more.
Yes.
But I've got to have the Aquitaine to do it. I must have it back.
See? See? But play that one again. It was close enough. You can see.
But I've got to have the Aquitaine to do it. I must have it back.
I've got to have the Aquitaine.
I've got to have the Aquitaine. I must have it to get it back. Whatever.
No.
Do you know what
the
Aquitaine is?
I've got to do it.
Do you know what the Aquitaine is, Stephanie?
It's something that's not like a Bic butane, right? Different.
It's a section of France.
Of course.
It's a combination of butane and aquavelva.
Yeah, that's it.
Which you don't want to smoke around.
No.
That would not end well.
All right. All right. Hey, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Well, you know, we watch so you don't have to. Stephen Hayes on the Here he goes.
What you've seen is the president not take aggressive steps on issues that matter most to social liberals, on social issues. But I think it's a hard argument for the White House to make that they haven't been left-wing enough. It's a hard argument for the left to make. I mean, if you go down and look at what he's done, the major decisions, whether it's the stimulus package, whether it's never really backing away from the public option, whether it's the Iraq timetable, the Iraq drawdown, what have you, he consistently has come down on the side of the left wing of the Democratic Party.
No, he hasn't. That's the problem. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World and an edition of Michael Steele. Weird dude. Seriously. Weird dude. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Tonight, and maybe a little wine for the
Stephanie Miller.
Delicious wine? Exactly.
There's a good suggestion. Brenda writes, Steph, you sound like Brenda Vaccaro. You remember, she did those Tampax ads in the 70s. Remember, she sounded like she was smoking them, didn't she?
I'm
Brenda Vaccaro for Tampax tampons. We're not number one, but we're up there. Cheryl in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, you can sharpen your skills and take care of your cough and your throat with a bottle of Bailey's.
Hello.
Bailey's is full of cream.
Cream, and that would make her really phlegmy.
That might be good in the phlegmy state I'm in.
It takes care of that scratchy throat and definitely sharpens the skills.
Yeah,
all
and
right.
It makes
thank you, Cheryl.
And it makes you forget you're sick.
And makes the show even more disgusting than it already is. I was saying, unfortunately, the Mucinex and the cough medicine I'm taking is designed to help you hack up phlegm. And there's no cough button in here. So,
right.
Hooray for me. Tim in L.A. with yet another remedy for Mama. Hello, Tim.
Ohio goes that much, Stephanie Chan and Moo Chan. This is the official Japanese American of the Stephanie Miller Show. And
Bling.
I do have a cure for you.
Yes.
And the cure is kimchi.
Kimchi?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a story on BBC that said that when they had the bird flu scare, you know, the flu's the flu, that the people in Korea were actually eating kimchi.
That's right.
Yeah, they were eating kimchi. And they also gave it to, you know, the chickens because they were coming down with bird flu.
That's right.
And the bird flu disappeared. So.
Wow.
You try that.
I remember.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
We talked about that at the time.
Yeah. But, Tim, you know, Jim, the only thing that would really make me feel better if Kim Jong-il were to feed me kimchi in any of the Los Angeles counties.
Los Angeles counties?
Yes, any of the California counties.
Oh, kimchi full of garlic. Very, very good for cold. Also very spicy. But a bottle of berries, that crazy. Berry made with cream. That makes you all frammy.
What counties could I find it in?
Oh, you could get the kimchi in Presa County, and Tuolumne County,
Fresno
County, and Alameda, and Los Angeles. All right, now Los Angeles. Especially on Wilshire.
Thank you. All right.
Wilshire and Western.
You know, here is a... Jim, you've been making this observation.
Peeps. Pardon me? What? Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Once you wind him up, you can't stop him.
Sorry. I'm not in the studio to turn my voice bot off by myself. You have to click a little thing in the back of his neck.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the midst of right-wing world, and you were saying that right-wing world is becoming not just Fox News, but also CNN. As I told you, I thought I might be able to do some CNN while I was here since I was on Larry King last week. I thought the ban was off. But no, apparently the ban on talk radio hosts is still on, which is kind of curious because, for instance, our friends at Media Matters for America have this breaking news, Chris.
Oh, okay.
They've obtained evidence of CNN contributor. He's a paid pundit, you know.
Yes.
Alex Castellanos' firm, National Media, is the ad buyer for the insurance industry group's America's Health Insurance Plans.
Wow.
Attacking Democratic health reform plans. CNN does have a responsibility to ensure that Castellanos' obvious conflict of interest does not tarnish their future coverage of the health care debate.
Wow.
So I guess
they should have a chyron that says, warning, this guy's a tool of the insurance industry.
Mm-hmm. And we've had that very tool on my show.
And you got into a bit of a yelling match with him.
Yes, I did.
I remember that. That was at the inauguration.
Yeah, it's Castellanos.
And by the way, Tom sent us some more breaking news for your CNN fodder for your next show. Wolf Blitzer, he was in the midst of talking about, Representative Joe Biden and the war in Afghanistan. And he interrupts the interview with breaking news about Rush Limbaugh and football.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Keith did a little montage. Oh, no, it wasn't Keith. It was John Stewart showing how they always interrupt the progressive people just before they try to rebut something that some right-winger said. Oh, we're going to have to leave it there. We'll have to leave it there. Well, I have to leave it at that. Sorry, we got to leave it there.
We'll have to leave it there before you can point out what a big fat lie what the right-wing guy just said is. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Stewart was saying, it's a 24-hour news network.
Yeah,
there's no leaving it there. How many more hours do you need?
I know. Exactly. Speaking of 24 hours of right-wing direct, Fox News with the Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
Oh.
Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
Yeah, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
The left, which had looked at him as a kind of a messianic redeemer, has decided or begins to understand that he's a calculating politician. It's not as if he is more of a centrist than we would imagine. He's not. He is a man of the left.
Ah. Yeah. I see. Yeah, we weren't aware that either he was a politician or he was black before the election.
Yeah.
I see.
They're really trying to paint Obama as some kind of far-left lunatic on the Fox News channel.
Although they point out that the left doesn't really like him.
Yeah,
at the same time.
But he's too left.
The same
right.
You don't hire people like Tim Geithner and Larry Summers to be on your economic team if you're a far-left loon.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the drug-addled gas bag defending him since charges of racism. Well, where would they get that from, my friend?
If people are trying to destroy your reputation and your credibility, your life and your career by tagging you as a racist, then you have to stand up and fight that. Now, we are in the process, behind the scenes, working to get apologies and retractions with the force of legal action against every journalist who has published these entirely fabricated quotes about me, slavery, and James Earl Ray. I never said them.
Really? Really now. Well, good luck with that. How's that going? Yeah, that's the problem with having actual audio and transcripts.
Yeah.
We did at least 10 of them the other day that were incredibly racist comments over the history of his career. That's hilarious. Good luck with that. Let us know how that suing everybody comes out.
I'm guessing during Discovery they'll play recordings.
Yeah. Yeah. How about some Dennis Miller on the O'Reilly Factor?
It would appear to me that the only emissions that Al Gore's really afraid of in the way of CO2 is a hard question about the environment. And I think global warming might, in fact, be caused by all the smoke he's been blowing up our collective derriere about it over the last 8 years. And he's making too much money off it.
Have you ever noticed how Dennis Miller's the only one laughing at Dennis Miller anymore?
Exactly. You know, it's funny because I'm laughing. I'm cracking myself up.
And he used to do the same thing on Saturday Night Live, and I hated him every time I saw him.
The emissions coming out of his dairy art, babe. Okay. O'Reilly on Gore as well.
We elected Obama, the collective American voter, to clean all this stuff up, and it's just the same stuff. Guantanamo's still there, Iraq is still there, the Wall Street wise guys are making more money than ever. Where's the change?
So you're saying
all the things he spoke out against, all the things O'Reilly spoke out against. Oh, now suddenly he's upset about Gitmo and all in Iraq. Mm-hmm.
That
Wall Street
only proves that Obama's a far left loon.
Yeah.
Because
what?
What?
Okay, Sean Hannity quoting one of his fake economists, like he often quotes fake doctors on Terry Schiavo.
One economist is sounding the alarm, charging that the Democrats and their bill will drive your taxes sky high and place a majority of the burden on the middle class and middle class families.
And what evidence do you have, Sean?
I'm guessing an economist that works for the private health insurance industry.
Yes.
It's just like they cite the, you know, the one scientist that says global warming is a hoax. The one on the oil company payroll. Yeah.
Dr. Hoffar.
Dr. Flonkenauer.
Dr. Furrier. Hoffar.
Wow. All right, that concludes a right-wing world. All right, speaking of right-wing world, Michael Steele, weird dude.
He's really weird.
He says he is the cow on the tracks trying to block the healthcare train.
The what? The what?
He was on a Fox News. He railed against Democratic efforts to reform health care and said how proud he was that the Republicans have stalled action. Oh, he's letting that obstructionist freak flag fly, which is good. And the Fox News host asked Steele about the health care train and left the station without Republicans on board. Steele then said, well, I'm the cow on the tracks, and you're going to have to stop that train to get this cow off the tracks and move forward. This is how you know it's bad. Even another Fox News host laughed at him. He pointed out, if you look at that analogy, the cow's not much of a match for that train.
Yeah.
And then he went on to say this, which is another weird. He blasted Democrats' lack of bipartisanship and insisted he isn't trying to be an obstructionist. To the contrary, he said, I'm saying, can we all get in a room and have a Rodney King moment?
Have a...
And work through something that addresses the...
What? Beat up mercilessly by a bunch of white cops?
Apparently.
I don't think he meant that moment.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what he means. I think he means, can't we all just let all the white racists on the right beat the crap out of us? I think
that is a
Rodney
King
moment. But it's Michael Steele. Weird dude. That's my point.
Yeah.
He said, I'm saying, can't we all get in the room, have a Rodney King moment, and work towards something that addresses the common sense bottom-up approach voters, and certainly the voters of our country, you, me, others, want to be done? Can't we all have a Rodney King moment? Weird dude.
This is how I roll, baby.
That's how he rolls.
Oh, and did you see...
Have you seen the new website?
Yes, and did you see the name of his blog on there?
What up?
What up?
Oh, no.
They had to change it because they got so much crap over it.
There was too much mocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new RNC website, the name of his blog is What Up? And then the new RNC website dedicates a section to future leaders of the GOP, but the page was blank.
That's great.
Republicans and the Internet, not so much.
No, uh-uh.
Oh, did you see this one? They also mentioned Jackie Robinson as a Republican hero.
Jackie Robinson?
Robinson.
Yeah, they list him as a great Republican as baseball legend Jackie Robinson. He actually was an independent. In fact, he spoke out about the hatred he saw at the 1964 Republican convention. Yeah, you know, my dad in Goldwaters.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sorry about that. That wasn't my dad's fault.
That's the one where you got up on stage, right?
No.
I thought they carried
you. Ugly.
Oh, I thought they carried you up on stage.
Oh, dear God, no. They kept me at home. I was too ugly.
Oh, my God.
I was a 3-year-old wolf child.
Oh, no.
And I love this. The other thing on the RNC website, Jim, they list the Iraq War as a Republican accomplishment.
Yeah, you go with that.
Oh, you own that. You're right.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job. Way to go. All right. 44 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the Dow is up above 10,000 for the first time. And the boner, as usually, has some wildly hypocritical thoughts on that. 44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sure. I've got a little juice for one more break. 49 minutes after the hour of the Stephanie Miller Show.
And then you need to go back to your palatial apartment. And,
well, it's not mine. It's the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. It's the Bonfire of the Vanities apartment.
Yes. And you need to rest for your big appearance on Ed tonight.
That's on the MSNBC. Exactly. I nearly hacked up a lung at the end of our segment on Tuesday.
And that is now a YouTube phenomenon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
By the way, when I was hacking up a lung, I noticed that like a giant tear was starting to form on my left eye.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, God, how much longer is this segment? And then I had to turn down the Rachel Maddow Show. Damn it! Last night.
But,
hopefully I will be well. Well, Rachel's out, too. She has the swine flu,
So
according to the news. I don't know.
It would have been with Allison Stewart.
Yes, who I love. Who's great. I'm sorry I missed that. But anyway, I'm... Here's the good news. The Dow Jones has reclaimed 10,000 for the first time in a year.
Hooray!
The comeback by the stock markets, best-known indicator, is the most visible sign that investors believe the economy is indeed recovering from the financial crisis and recession, which leads us to an exciting edition of...
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner!
When asked about the surging markets, the boner grumbled at the news. He said, you're certainly not talking to the American people if you're placing any significance on the 10,000 mark. Oh, but Boner hasn't always been so dismissive of the stock market significance.
Really?
No. Right after the president was inaugurated, he said, the president certainly remains popular, but his policies are becoming less and less popular. Certainly the stock market hasn't acted very well since Obama's inauguration.
Seems a little hypocritical.
Yes, it certainly does. We have some more from the Boner.
Obama's been an absolute disaster for the American economy. The stock market is the barometer, or should I say obometer, of the economy. No other statistic is even worthy of comment. When you see how the stock market has faltered under this administration, that's really all they need to know about the abject failure of this administration's economic policies. Should be at the top of our list! And furthermore... Sorry, what? Stock market broke 10,000? Crap! Damn it! Son of a... As I was saying, at the end of the day, the American people don't give a rat's hiney about the stock market. The American people want jobs, and they want them now. Why hasn't Obama fixed all the problems? He inherited an unprecedented level of peace and prosperity, and he ruined it. Did George Bush get any credit? Nope. I hope you enjoy your commie peace prize, Vladimir. Well, keep another Rob Roy. Keep him coming. Damn it! Damn it!
Maybe a Rob Roy would help my cold. Hello, Tammy in New Haven, with some more
I wanted to let you know that if you want to fix your cold, you should try Buckley's cough syrup.
Oh.
Buckley's cough syrup is...
I have the good prescription stuff. I don't know.
Well, no, this stuff is made from kerosene.
Oh. Sounds tasty.
Wow.
It's really toxic, and when a friend of mine gave it to me, she said you should always eat it with like a piece of bread or something, and that's only so that you don't throw up the bread.
Oh my God!
Wow. Thank you for that awful suggestion, Tammy. All right, goodbye.
And don't smoke around it.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
So you know how Michelle Bachmann likes to compare herself to Sarah Palin, the toy maker company Hero Builders. Begs to differ.
Hero Builders?
Yes, get my prices wrong, trumpet. Michelle Bachmann doll, not selling very well. They've sold only 50 copies of the action figure. The sales of the Rockmandel pale in comparison to the Palin action figure, which sold 10,000 units within 24 hours of its launch.
Caribou
Barbie doll, much more popular.
How can Sarah Palin have an action figure when she wasn't even in office for a full term?
She'd be an inaction figure.
Yeah, there was no action there.
She'd be an inaction figure for Sarah Palin, exactly.
She quits. She's got kung fu quitting
grip. Yeah, that's her only action.
Watch her quit. Yeah, that's the only thing she says. I quit. And, of course, you have Betcha and Kali and old guys.
Getting it back to you, action grip.
Yeah. All right. I don't say anything else, but if I do, I'll get that back to you. All right. So we were talking about this hilarious Lindsey Graham town hall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Keith Olbermann went down the list of how conservative this guy really is, but he's not conservative enough for this Republican Party.
For the people they've unleashed with the teabaggers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they were out front with the rhino hunt, you know, Republican in name only signs. And they depicted Republicans like Graham, Olympia Snowe, and Susan Collins being flushed down a giant toilet.
Yeah.
And then Graham said at one point, we're going to move this party in this country forward. If you don't like it, you can leave. And they started shouting, Sotomayor, you lie.
Oh, no.
And you're a country club Republican, aren't they all?
Yeah.
Outside the event, right-wing activist Juliet Kozak picketed the town hall with a sign decrying, quote, unconstitutional anti-Christ socialist federal deficit spending programs.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
What?
That makes no sense.
That sounds like a Dick Morris rant.
Yeah.
That made no sense at all. Graham said to the angry mob, we're not going to be a party of angry white guys, to even more shouts from angry white guys.
Angry white guys!
And a bunch of people walked out. Graham said, if you don't like it, you can leave. And so they did.
Yeah.
All right, where is my deliverance music? Here is what else is left of the Republican Party. I don't know if you know, they keep trying to say, we're not a party of angry white guys. However, in recent days, two incidents, one in Lakeville, Massachusetts, someone carved the letter I, then a swastika, and the word Obama on the 18th hole at the Lakeville Country Club.
So Country Club Republicans are doing it, too, apparently.
Apparently.
Wow.
Country Club Republicans like Lindsey Graham, perhaps.
Yeah. Yes.
And how about the bar owner with the Obama anti-Obama sign? Did you hear about this? The Georgia Peach Museum and Restaurant, which boasted it is the original Klan bar on its website.
Wow.
Caused a media firestorm last week when it put up a sign that read, Obama's plan for health care, N-word, rig it. Except, of course, the N-word
was the N-word.
Wow. Yeah.
The restaurant's owner, Patrick Lanzo, told a local paper his sign is strictly about free speech.
Uh-huh.
That's generally what the horrid racists say. The restaurant owner responded to complaints about it by saying that Obama really isn't even an African-American, but a half-breed.
He's Cher, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a gypsy, a tramp, and a thief, too, apparently. Yeah, aren't we in upside-down world? I talked about this on Ed Schultz's show the other night. This new Liz Cheney group that they're calling Obama's the radical that we have to stop. Dick Cheney's demon seed, Liz, will launch a new group aimed at rallying opposition to the radical foreign policy of the Obama administration.
Radical.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. The people that tortured people, started an unnecessary war based on lies, and I see in Obama bringing the world together, winning the Nobel Prize, he's the radical. Okay.
That makes no sense.
The new group, Keep America Safe.
Oh, because Obama isn't.
Yeah, and it's also, Bill Kristol's on that, Jim, which is good, because, as you know, he's been right about everything.
Yeah.
He's part of that group as well. He said the left has organizations and tens of millions of dollars. The good guys need some help, too.
The good guys?
Yeah, he means the torturers and the unnecessary warmongers and the, those are the good guys. Those are the good guys. They need a little help. All right, thank God that's it for us today.
Go sleep.
I will be on the Ed Show tonight, hopefully, and see you tomorrow for Fridays with John Fugelsang and much more tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.